Hello, everyone. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me? Let me know in the chat. We'll get this party started. Yep, awesome. All right, how's everybody tonight? Let me get all of my things and we will get rolling. Give you guys a minute to come in. Great, awesome. So here's what we're going to do tonight. I am going to go through and give you some of my biggest, most awesome takeaways from this book, from the last four chapters of this book. This Chasing Cupcakes may be my new all-time favorite self-development book. It used to be, thank you, I love my shirt too. It used to be You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. It's a really good one too. It helped me in a moment in my life where I was trying to figure out who I was. But I tell you, this Chasing Cupcakes is so full of wisdom and amazingness that I can't get over it. So it is my new favorite. And before I get too deep into this tonight, I want to remind everyone here and who's listening on the podcast that Monday, June 29th, Corinne will be here on Zoom at 6 p.m. Central. Notice the time change, an hour later, with the author, with Elizabeth Benton herself. And y'all, I just get goosebumps thinking about it. I cannot wait for that call. It's just going to be incredible. So, wonder why you guys can't see me. Is it everybody can't see me or just people who have not turned on their video? Okay. So make sure your video is on if you can. Okay. So people can see and hear me. All right. So it's not me. That's good news. All right. So here we go. Let's go ahead and talk about chapters 13 through 16. So up to now, you've had three calls so far. If you've been on all three, you've talked about the hard road, spinning your wheels in indecision and inaction, checking your ego, doing work today instead of waiting until tomorrow, barriers to change, self-sabotage stories, how our thoughts ultimately direct our choices, goals, giving energy to solutions instead of to problems, how to ask the right questions, making things easy, and becoming a solutions-oriented person. We have done a lot of work. So much good stuff. Tonight, we're going to talk about the fear of missing out, how to change your reputation, quitting, and maximum effort. If you guys cannot get your video going, I suggest you go out and come back in. Make sure your Zoom settings have video. You know, your Zoom settings allow video and audio, okay? All right, so here we go with chapter 13. Pam, you should only be able to see me. If you can't see me, try going out and coming back in. See if that helps. All right. Chapter 13, fear of missing out. So the author starts us out with, if I say yes to this, to FOMO, what am I saying no to? One of the most insidious and regret-inducing behaviors to change is the fear of missing out, also known as FOMO. No one describes FOMO better than personal development author Brené Brown in her book, Rising Strong. I told my husband this quote today, and he was pretty blown away. He says, or Brené says, fear of missing out is what happens when scarcity slams into shame. FOMO lures us out of our integrity with whispers about what we could or should be doing, right? There's that should word. FOMO's favorite weapon is comparison. It kills gratitude and replaces it with not enough. We answer FOMO's call by saying yes when we mean no. We abandon our path and our boundaries and those precious adventures that hold meaning for us so that we can prove that we aren't missing out. But we are. We're missing out on our own lives. Every time we say yes because we're afraid of missing out, we say no to something. How about that, right? if you're giving into your FOMO, right? If you're afraid you're missing out of something, you're probably doing something that you really don't want to do, right? This one hit me square in the face. FOMO, compare, abandoning our path, setting boundaries. It got me in all of them. Let's apply it to weight loss for a minute. In weight loss, it's food. If I don't eat this, don't have the margarita with the girls, the ice cream with the kids, I'll miss out on the taste, the satisfaction, the connection with friends. Everyone else gets to eat. Why not me? I have to diet. That's what FOMO sounds like. It's like you have no choice. It's like you're out of control. But the first word in FOMO, remember, is fear. So let's look at that. What are you afraid of? What are you really afraid of? And remember, when it comes to FOMO with food, if you say yes to the food, you're actually missing out on the weight loss. If you say no to the food, you can still have the connection. You can still have the people, right? I mean, it's crazy. So what's the author say about fear? She says, fear is the anticipation of danger or loss. Anticipation is the work of your imagination. While danger reflects your circumstances, like the tiger or the puma that's chasing you, fear reflects your thoughts. Wow, right? Fear goes in the A line, the feelings line of the model. And it's all created by a thought, right? That means it's all in your head. Fear of missing out is something that comes from your head, your imagination, not from your reality. It's a perception problem. Wow, right? That was like a big kaboom in my head. When you say yes to your fear, what are you saying no to? Weight loss? Having your own back? Keeping your commitments to yourself? Right? When you sit in fear, you're paralyzed. You're not planning. You're not preparing. Your sole focus is on what you're missing out on. You're not thinking about your future self. That's right, Joanne. You're not thinking about your goals. You don't have your own back because you're worried that you're not going to get ice cream or margarita. You might be asking yourself a lot of pointless what if questions, right? Well, you know, what if they have something without me? What if I can't do it? What if I shouldn't do it? Right? The author encourages us to reverse our perspective on missing out. Journal about it first by asking yourself, in what areas of life do I most often say yes when I really mean no? Good stuff, right? So let's look at the questions at the end of chapter 13. So like I did before, I went ahead and filled mine out. If you have your journal prompts, pull them out, because I'm going to want to hear from you how you answered some of these questions. So she says, in what areas of your life do you most frequently say yes when you mean no? Let's hear it. In what areas? You guys tell me in the chat. In what areas of your life do you most frequently say yes when you mean no? For me, really, right now, it's beer with my husband. I got food. What else you got? My kids. I wonder what that's about. Watching TV instead of something. Wine. Babysitting my grandkids. So I'm curious about that. About babysitting your grandkids. Are you saying yes when you want to say no? Your social eating. I say yes to more work too much. Yeah, me too. So you see what I'm saying? You know, you could be saying no and having your own back, but you're saying yes because you're afraid you're going to miss something. You're afraid you're not going to get, you know, get the wine. I'm afraid downstairs Ken's going to have a beer that tastes good and I don't get one. When if I had my own back, I would put it on the plan and then decide, right? What's the next question here? What do you want the most? For me, what I want the most is a healthy, pain-free thin body. I'm not going to get that if I have beer every night. I'm not going to get that if I have cheesecake every night, right? I'm not going to get that unless I take care of myself and I say yes to me and no to the things I'm worried about missing out on. So Christine wants a healthy relationship with food. That's beautiful, right? Who else? What is it that you want most? Come on, you guys. Somebody wants something. A healthy brain. Healthy and a clear brain. Here we go. Flexibility. Lose weight and keep it off. Active life. Pain-free for me, too. Yeah. Clothes I love. Healthy body. Absolutely. Decluttered house. Reach my goal weight. A boyfriend. Slimmer figure. Yeah. These are things that we want most. And we're not going to get them if we spend a lot of time in FOMO, right? So why do you want these things, right? Why are these important to you, right? So for me, I want a healthy, pain-free body because feeling good physically keeps my brain sharp. I'm not so focused on pain or discomfort. You know, if I remove those things, which I can do with food and with my weight, then my brain stays sharp. Peace and control. I love that. Ease. So it's a difference for me between being ready for the day or being tired or not feeling good or being achy or being whiny, right? I don't want to be those things. That's why I want comfort in any chair. Love that. Enjoy shopping, less stress, right? So when you say yes to the things in FOMO, what's the downside? When you're having FOMO and you say yes, what's the downside? For me, it's being draggy, not getting good sleep, being groggy in the morning, all those things. Delay to your progress. That's right. Regret. Oh, that's a good one. Heartburn. Yeah, exactly. Keep the weight, pain in the knees, feel like a failure. No longer reach goals. Disappointed. These are the things you need to think about when you have a decision to eat off plan, or the margaritas with the girls, or the ice cream with the kids, or whatever it is. When you start feeling that FOMO, you have to start thinking, if I say yes to this, what am I saying no to? Right? So when can you practice saying no instead of yes? I'd like to hear your scenarios. When can you practice saying no instead of yes every day? Sure, right? Every moment you make a decision to non-planned food right now, urges, anytime, next best decision, right? Exactly. There's a good specific one when donuts are brought into work, right? Can say no to overcommitting. When the alarm goes off, no to the snooze button, right? Boundaries to be honored. When I want food and I'm not hungry, donut. There's another donuts. So this is how you do this. You start coming up with the situations and you start thinking about them ahead of time and you make a plan, right? So for me, it's every day at dinner time, right? And how do I recognize the lie of FOMO the next time it comes up? I just hear it. I just say, there's that suggestion. There's that urge to have that beer. I'm going to turn my focus back on me and having my back and understanding what I need and what makes me feel good. That's the antidote to FOMO, is turning the focus back on yourself. Right? Good stuff. Good stuff. Then we move into chapter 14, change your reputation. So the author says the disappointment, frustration, and doubt that come from repeated excuses and exceptions begin to shape the way you see yourself. More appropriately, they begin to limit the way you see yourself. One of the most common things she talks about that she observes in her clients who are struggling is that they have begun to define themselves based on what they don't want. What do you guys think about that? Do you define yourselves based on what you don't want? Whether they feel they're an all or nothing person, describe themselves as inconsistent, or state that they're an emotional eater, the pattern is clear. They identify with a reputation of themselves that has room for improvement. Fortunately, who you think you are is not a fixed position. You can change it, and it's easier than you think. Good stuff, right? So how do you guys define yourselves? Do you define yourselves by what you aren't, or do you define yourself by what you are? Isn't that an interesting question? If you think, if you had to give yourself, you know, write a little bio, would you say, well, you know, I'm not a great mom, or I'm not really nice to myself, or would you say, I'm really good at my job, I'm a great mother, I'm a good cook, right? Isn't that interesting? How do you define yourself? So your reputation is the reputation you have, the thoughts you have about yourself. Right? Your reputation with yourself is made up of the thoughts you have about you. Are you a perfectionist? A people pleaser? A go-getter? Do you like how you describe yourself? Nancy says, I'm smart, good mom, taking control, competent, able to go after what I want. Beautiful, right? Beautiful. If you're thinking, so we'll go back to the think, feel, do cycle, right? The model, that little, that middle portion of the model. If you're thinking, I'm a person who figures things out, then you might feel open and you decide to try new things. But if you're the person that thinks, I don't know, I'll never get this, you feel failure, then you don't try new things. Right? So that inner self-talk, that dialogue, that reputation you have with yourself is everything. It's all about the belief in yourself and what you believe you project into the world. The author tells us, fortunately, who you think you are is not a fixed problem. Position. You can change it, and it's much easier to change than you might think. You are whatever you decide to be. The only limits on your behavior come from your choices. Who you were yesterday, or that pattern of behavior you think defines you, it's all changeable. So if you're that person that thinks, that's having a day, thinks, I'll never get this, you know, I'm just not smart enough, I'm just not good enough, you get to change that. You get to think something differently when you get up tomorrow, right? She even gives these amazing examples. She says an introvert can choose to be something else if they so desire. A motivated person can choose to be lazy. A liar can choose to be honest. A quitter can see something through, and a genius can get it all wrong. Right? My mind was blown. This was a big one for me. You can be a rule follower and a rule breaker. How about that? Right? Because I'm like the consummate rule follower. I can break rules and be okay. You get to choose. And you don't choose just once. You choose every day and every moment that you make a choice. So all my perfectionists out there, anybody perfectionist? Right? Does that blow your mind? It blew my mind. I can be a rule breaker and a rule follower. That's cool. And the whole I get to decide thing, that's mind-blowing too. I get to decide. Not I have to or don't have to. I get to. That's so empowering. That means I get to do the things when they feel hard. I get to be someone who sticks to plan. I get to be someone who makes mistakes and recovers. I get to be someone who keeps her commitments to herself. It's like you give yourself permission to be the person you want to be, the person who is perfectly imperfect and has compassion for herself rather than a beat down. I get to be someone who keeps on trying. That's right. Tell me one thing I want to see, just like Shops A Lot just did. I get to be someone who keeps on trying. Tell me what you get to be. One thing you'd love to create in yourself that you want to be. Tell me one thing you get to be. Put them in the chat. Let's see. I get to keep promises to myself. Organized, empathetic. I get to be outgoing, but I don't believe it. You get to be. consistent. I get to think I'm successful. Ooh, I like that. What do you get to think? I get to be a special needs mama without guilt. I get to follow my plan, productive, committed to myself. I get to be someone who forgives her own mistakes. I love that one. I get to have integrity. I get to be in control of food. Yeah, doesn't it feel good to say those things? It's like you're giving yourself a gift, right? I get to be beautiful inside and out. Yeah, you get to decide that. You get to decide that you're beautiful inside and out. I get to be my own success story. I get to figure out this keyboard. Yeah. All right, so the author keeps going and she says, I'm going to give you a tool you can use every time you're frustrated with yourself or feel tempted to submit to habits you're trying to break. If you commit to practicing with this tool, you'll be able to cut through the emotional entanglement of past patterns in record time. The tool comes in the form of a question. What is the behavior you wish you would effortlessly demonstrate in this situation? If you were the ideal version of yourself, exactly the person you wish to be, what would you do? You wouldn't quit on yourself, right? You'd be your own success story. How would you behave? So it's kind of like the whole I get to do things, right? The ideal version of you. Please me first. What does the ideal version of you do? She redirects urges like a boss. I love that. Get to be the person who doesn't quit on herself. I would be someone who is capable of graciously declining food and alcohol, right? Stay the course and don't get distracted. Mm-hmm. Have a conversation with my kids and not yell. She uses food for fuel, not feelings. She says, stop when I head for the kitchen when I'm not hungry, right? I get to cook dinner for my family while listening to the rest of Kathy's call. Yes, absolutely. That's what you get to decide to do as the ideal person that you want to create. You get to walk confidently with head up and shoulders back. Yes. I love it. Don't forget what we talked about in part one. The author reminds us, customer service is an inside job. That may have been my favorite chapter. The solution is right here at your fingertips. You have to move out of the sensing stage and into the solving stage. So we get to feel all our feelings, but eventually we have to put them into action, right? Commit to recognizing when you're marinating in your feelings about the problem. That's not where the solution is. The solution is right over here, out of the muck of your emotions, right in this simple space. Identify who and how you want to be. We are in chapter 14, Pam. Then act that way. You aren't pledging a permanent change. You're choosing a single response. I just love that. The solution is right over here, out of the muck of your emotions. Right in the simple space. Identify who you want to be, then act that way. That's acting as if, y'all, right? That's deciding, if I were a thin person right now, what would I be eating? If I were 10 pounds down, how would I be planning? What does my hunger scale look like? Right? I love it. This is our work, y'all. The more we see it, remove self-judgment, decide what we want to think and do instead, and act as if, the closer we are to change, to becoming the person we were meant to be, the person we're creating. And when we become that person we're creating, we change our thoughts about ourselves. Our reputation improves, right? Love it. Okay, let's look at the questions from chapter 14. So we talked about, who do you want to be? Right? I said, I want to be someone who knows what to do even when doubt, uncertainty, and overwhelm hit me. I want to believe I can feel those things and be okay with them. Right? Who do you want to be? You want to be a great mom. You want to be an active mom. What does she look like? What does your ideal person look like? Love myself like I love others. Yeah. It's a good one, Ashley. What else we got? Full of energy. Person who figures things out. Yeah. I want to be a positive role model for my kids. I want to be healthy and thin. My own best cheerleader. Love it. How does the person you want to be act? Right? So for me, she puts her head down and she stops the self-talk. She understands herself without judging herself. She sets boundaries and enforces them. And she takes care of herself with food, rest, and self-care. That's how the person I am working on becoming every day acts, right? Here's one that makes good food decisions, even on busy days. Yeah. Taking care of myself first. So important. I bet I tell somebody every week, you have to take care of yourself so you can take care of other people. Those of us who are moms and caregivers, if we're tapped out, we're not doing any good for anybody else, right? So what choices does this person make, right? Mine makes good plans for her time, for her food, follows them. And she chooses to journal and work on continued self-improvement. Diane's person allows people to support her in her goals. So important. You're not on an island. You get to ask for help. You get to ask for support, right? So what choices does this person, this ideal person that you're becoming, what does she not make, right? What is she not doing? It's a good question, right? My person doesn't blame or procrastinate. Here's eat when not hungry, stops growing, not making decisions out of fear. Good. What else is she not doing? Using emotions to decide things, doesn't dwell, doesn't eat too fast, not obsessing over work, better work-life balance, not binging, thinking it's fun, right? She's not arguing for can't. She doesn't give up. She's not watching all the cookie shows on TV. Hey, wait, there's nothing wrong with that. Not spinning her wheels instead of taking action, right? Good one. Very good, Penny. It's good stuff, right? So then there's some work that you can do outside of here. She talks about sitting with your journal and writing out what it will take for you to change your reputation. Every day for 1 week, begin your morning by identifying the specific steps you'll take that day to create your improved reputation. I'm curious, did anybody do this? If you did, would you want to share what you learned? If you didn't, just pull out this journaling guide. Right off the bonus course website, on the website, and do this work, because this is where you change how you think about yourself, how you feel about yourself. Good work to do. All right, chapter 15, navigate the darkness. So this chapter is about the down days, the days that don't feel good, the mistakes, the hiccups, and how to use them as a way to keep moving forward. So many times we have a down day and we cash it in, right? I'll start again tomorrow. I'll start again next week, right? Mm-mm. The down days, she says, the author says, are not here to give you an excuse to run from progress. The hard moments are an essential part of progress. Hard moments, hard days, and even hard years are part of the human experience. You can't avoid them. It's the 50-50, y'all. Corinne talks about 50% good, 50% bad. That's the way life is, right? Elizabeth says, you can decide to abandon your goals and self-care during these times. You can continue to let your circumstances determine your choices, or you can practice being someone who remains in control of your choices regardless. You can merely survive the dark moments, You can submit to them and let them run your life, or you can choose to thrive in the midst of them. So good, right? Equal airtime. You are exactly right, Nancy. That's what it is. It's living through the tough days, because that's where your victory is. Tell me the last time you had a success that was super easy that you got all excited about. And then think about the last time you had to really work hard to reach a goal or to complete a task, and it felt so good to be at the end of it. The stuff that's real easy, you don't celebrate as hard. Yeah, Diane says the best lessons learned are when it's hard. That's exactly right. And it's the most you celebrate. When you get that big fat project done at work, you are like super excited. You know you have done it. You get those little tasks, those daily tasks done, it's just another day, right? So good. So good. Nobody has promised you the easy road, y'all. There will be bumps. That's where you get to go back to your reputation. Are you someone who folds when the work gets hard, when you make a mistake? Or are you someone who takes a look, does a discovery worksheet, and moves forward with insight, right? It's the dark days that matter the most. It's how you respond to the dark days that build your character, your self-esteem, and your confidence. Think about the last mistake you made. How did you react? How did you feel? And what did you do differently? Did you beat yourself up? Or did you go, hold on, let's take a look at this and figure out where the learning point is? Because there's always a learning point in the dark days. You either handled it beautifully and you want to handle it that way again, or you didn't handle it so well and you want to level up next time. When you allow yourself to have a bad day and you don't quit on yourself and your commitments, you get to experience how it feels to survive feeling down and not eating your way through it. You begin to realize that if you can handle this one, maybe you can handle another one. And that's how you create momentum. So one of my favorite quotes from the whole book is in this chapter. It says, in your own life, never quit on a bad day. Never give up because you're frustrated, tired, or stressed. Never give up because you aren't seeing progress. Never. Guys, when you decide not to quit, you get to feel the success of not quitting. You begin to look for help and resources and answers. You begin to create mantras for yourself, just like the author did. I don't drink when I'm sad. I don't eat when I'm stressed. I don't quit when I make a mistake. I don't decide today's a shit show. I'll try again tomorrow. You want to talk about confidence and empowerment? That's it right there. When you don't quit, when you've had a tough day, you have just like turned the gas on your success. She says, it's often most tempting to overeat, overspend, or drink too much when life feels hard. However, those behaviors aren't solutions. They're distractions. In that dark season of life, each time I considered, this is Elizabeth talking, turning to food or alcohol, I told myself to hold steady. Keep making the right choice, one choice at a time, until the tides turn. Don't stop. Never quit on a bad day. I chose to make myself better instead of resigning to making myself feel worse. I refused to betray myself. Can you imagine what life would be like if you refused to betray yourself? Can you even picture it? Can you picture that? Because I really believe this is our challenge, to not betray ourselves and our dreams. To find a way to hold steady. And in doing that, we make ourselves better. Isn't that interesting? I just love it. It just gives me goosebumps, y'all. It just gives me goosebumps when I think about how I can choose to not betray myself and what I want and what I need. So the worksheet's on this. She says, the next time you find yourself negotiating for an excuse, exception, or choice that doesn't reflect progress toward your goal, put that decision on hold. Create one amazing day, a day where you feel maximally proud of your choices and decisions. So what does your amazing day look like? Have you guys seen the new planner? Have you seen the ideal day worksheet in the new planner? What does yours look like? Pam says, go after what you want the most. Don't think short term. Right. Good days are inspirational. Bad days are motivational. Interesting. So what does your ideal day look like? For me, it's get up and shower because, y'all, I shower every day. I go to work. I coach. I teach. I have lunch with my husband. Then I work some more. Then I do a walk, yoga, dinner, and self-care. That's my ideal day. That's like 6 days a week for me. Nancy makes her bed. That's awesome. What else do you do in your ideal day? Have my own back, follow plan, moving forward with making best choices, yoga, Princess Power Hour. Floss my teeth at night, go to curves, be alive and be present. Yes. Good stuff. Good stuff. What else do you do in your ideal day? You read? I like to read. Use my superpowers to help others. Awesome. Reflect and look forward. Spend time with my daughter and sister-in-law. Go to a Zoom like this. Oh, that's cool. That's part of your ideal day. Awesome. Laugh. You laugh on purpose, Diane? Make sure you laugh every day. I love that. Becky reads personal development books. I plan what's best for me. Oh, look, we have no BS work. Beautiful. So when will you do this without excuse? So this is a question that I really get off on. So when you will execute it, right, creates intentionality, right? I've decided every day I'm getting up at 6 o'clock and taking a shower and drinking coffee and journaling. That's what I do every morning. I made that. I'm intentional with it. I get my journaling done. I get my plan done. All the things, right? If I get up at 6:10, I feel like I'm reactive the rest of the day. I feel like I lose control the rest of the day. I want to stay intentional, right? Helps me navigate the darkness better when I'm intentional with my time and with my plans. At the end of your amazing day, when you're feeling proud and encouraged, revisit that choice you're considering. So for me, if I choose to give up, I won't feel accomplished and I won't enjoy my self-care and I'll be full of guilt and regret. Nobody wants to live in guilt and regret, right? Raise your hand if you want to live in guilt and regret. I bet nobody does. Good stuff. Let's go on to chapter 16. What are we doing on time? Maximum effort. Oh, y'all. This is the best. So the author starts this chapter talking about a CrossFitter who decides every day to give her best, and she knows she will feel her best when she's working her hardest. She understands that maximum effort has a great payoff. So Elizabeth says, to be perfectly honest, I think that's true for all of us. We just don't yet know it because we haven't given ourselves that experience. We haven't created an uninterrupted string of days or weeks where we do our best and take impeccable care of ourselves without exception. We don't know how amazing we would feel if we brought our best effort consistently and stopped making excuses. The thrill and pride of progress feels significantly better than the pleasure of indulgence and the familiarity of excuses. I'm going to say that again, y'all. The thrill and pride of progress, not perfection, progress, feels significantly better than the pleasure of indulgence and the familiarity of excuses. Wow, right? Progress, not perfection, not reaching the goal, noticing your progress, your baby steps forward. The confidence that comes from being proud of yourself is immeasurably more satisfying than the short-term relief of procrastination. This one's full of things I need to be writing every day. What is waiting for you on the other side of the work you're avoiding will feel better than the comfort of where you are right now. And what's waiting for you on the other side is pride and success and accomplishment. She says, it's okay if you aren't sure about that or haven't ever experienced it. That's the point. Create the experience because you deserve to find out. Holy cow, right? You deserve to figure this out. You deserve a healthy body. You deserve to have your own back. You deserve happiness. In the planner, which page is it on? I think it's on the assessment page. Today, I am worth this work, and here's why. And I always start my answer with, I deserve. I deserve a healthy body. So what do you, tell me in the chat, how do you answer that question? Today, I am worth this work, and here's why. What do you deserve? Sometimes I say a healthy body. I deserve to love myself. I deserve to be the best me possible. Good one. Yeah. What else? Come on, you guys. I deserve to feel good in my clothes. I deserve to live my best life and enjoy the journey. I deserve to be happy and healthy. I deserve good health and long life. I deserve to be seen. Yes, all of you deserve all of those things. I deserve to be proud of myself. I deserve to be the best version of myself, to put myself first, to feel sexy, to not hate pictures of me. How about I deserve to love pictures of me? I deserve to be the real me. I love it. We all deserve all of those things, right? Because we're all worthy of all of those things. All we have to do is decide we are. Yes, right, Nancy? Love pictures of me. Deserve to meet my future self. Yeah, exactly. Too often, we're either not trying, which sucks, or we're straddling the middle, and kind of trying, which also sucks. Interesting, right? There's another option, which is to show up and do your best every single day, maximum effort. I think we call that massive action in the membership, in No BS, don't we? Work hard and don't take your foot off the gas. Create the change you crave and see how amazing you can feel. See what kind of change you can generate in your life when you actually put consistent action and unwavering effort into it. Learn what it feels like to do your best consistently. Consistently doing my best, the author says, consistently doing my best gave me the gift of a different version of the truth, a more complete version of the truth, a version that moves me forward. Sure, indulging feels good, but not indulging feels better, right? Because you have, on the backside of indulging, you have regret. On the backside of not indulging, you have accomplishment. So many good nuggets in this chapter. I wanted to just pull out all of chapter 16 and read it all to you. She says, momentary indulgence can't hold a candle to building your confidence, stepping into your highest potential, and watching it unfold in front of you, making it unfold. There's a priceless level of energy and enthusiasm that level of effort brings into your life, and I want you to feel it. I love it. I love it. You guys, I want you to feel it too. And so does Corinne. Do y'all know what her mission is? Her mission is, and we've adopted it as a team, is to help every woman lose her weight and feel as amazing as she deserves. Putting off your work doesn't make the work any easier. It ultimately makes it more difficult. Isn't that, that's just so interesting to me. So make up your mind, pursue progress, not perfection. Entertain no other option and give yourself the experience of maximum effort. I'm so sorry you guys are having video problems. I'm not sure what the problem is because most everybody can see me, right? Okay, good. So the journaling part of chapter 16 is pretty much just like a go get them, right? She says, take off the emergency brake and put on your best effort. Stop talking yourself out of work and instead show yourself what it feels like to work hard, raise your standards, and be the best version of yourself. I love it. It's like a call to action to every day show up. Every day do your thing. And then after chapter 16, she has a little thing that says, as you go forward. And I wanted to leave you with this quote. And then I'll take some questions if you guys have any questions. She says, others may inspire and inform you. You can certainly learn from great people and have helpful coaches. But change doesn't come from inspiration or information. Change comes from action. Only you can take those steps and make those choices. So we as a team, we as coaches, we teach you. You're the ones who put this stuff into action. Change is purely a result of choices you make and the actions you take when you're on your own. You are the only one who can create the change. That means you are the magic. Does anybody on this call believe they're the magic? Yeah, Katrina does. Like Disney. Yeah, Dinah does. Dina, I've learned that. You get to decide that you're the magic. And you get to prove it to yourself by showing up every day and doing your work, by navigating mistakes, navigating the darkness, by sitting through the FOMO, by changing your reputation. That's how you show yourself that you're the magic. I love it. All right, let's see what questions you have. There are four questions here. Let's see what we got. Bring them over here. What if the thing that you're missing out on is actually something that would have been really great for you? Going to a party and socializing and practicing saying no to food. Yeah. What are you missing out on then? Are you missing out on the party? Or are you missing out on the food? Right? So this is a great example of all the things that we've talked about. You know, you can go to the party. You can be afraid of missing out on the food and the drinks. You can work through that, have connection with the people there, change your reputation with yourself, show yourself that you can do these things, and you give it maximum effort, right? It's a great example. Nancy says, I don't quite understand the maximum effort versus minimum to succeed. So maximum effort means you are all in. So remember when we did all in April, where we said we're going to create certainty every day, we're going to show up every day, we're going to talk to ourselves about who we're going to connect with. We decided we were going to be all in with those four questions and with showing up for ourselves in April. This is what we did for all you newbies. We did it a couple months ago. That's deciding to take massive action and giving maximum effort on those things. Claire wants to know, is hard a thought or a feeling or both? Depends on what you're describing. So if you say losing weight is hard, then how does that make you feel, right? If you say losing weight is hard, it probably feels, I want to say hard. But it feels bad in some way, right? I don't know. I think it's a descriptor. So I think it's probably more easier in the thought line. I think that's where I would put it. What is my favorite quote of the book? I'd love to hear that. I can tell you mine was, what was it I just read about? Hang on. Mine was this one from chapter 15. Never quit on a bad day. Never give up because you aren't seeing progress. That's mine. Transformation is now. That's Penny's. Let me open this chat. I want to see what you guys say. Every choice is a chance. No choice is too small to make a difference. You don't need to take notes. You need to take action. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. That one hits me, too. What else? What else did you have? You guys have that was your favorite? There's no failure, only practice. Mind the truth that moves you forward. What I do today matters. It makes a difference. Everything I do makes a difference. Why stay in prison when the door is wide open? Oh, y'all, I'm getting goosebumps. That's so good. What other good ones do you have? They're actually all through the study guide. When we wrote the study guide, we picked some of the good ones too. The way things have been is not the way they have to continue to be. Don't believe everything you think. Right? How about don't continue to waste time and energy justifying or validating your lack of progress? Just change something. I love that one too. Changing your thoughts changes the entire game, right? If you persist today, it will be that much easier to persist tomorrow. That's a good one. Make my best possible decision in this moment without negotiation or debate. Yeah, don't quit on bad days. Kristen says, what are your best tips for in the moment urges when there are only seconds between thought and bites? You know what? I create a pause that's longer than seconds. I move away for just and count to 10. You know, just create a pause that's longer than a few seconds. Make it a few more seconds and a few more. Just give yourself time to think. And if you still want to eat, then eat. But create that space. That's what I would do. What else we got here? Your new story has to be one you believe in, but also one that reflects the positive change you want to create. That's a good one, too. They're all so good. I'll finish with this one. You are whatever you decide to be. The only limits on your behavior come from your own choices. I think I read that one to you already. So that's what we got. Chasing Cupcakes. Elizabeth Bunton. If this is your first Zoom call, there are three others. Read the book. Come to the Zooms. We had a great time. The coaches and I had a great time doing this book study. Did y'all like the book study? Did y'all like this kind of work? Chasing Cupcakes. Yes, yes, yes. So many great quotes. Love this. Good, good. So this will be the last Chasing Cupcakes call, but we're going to continue to have more calls. Basics Bootcamp is next month. I'm so glad you guys like this because it was so much fun for us. This was the first book I finished in over a decade. Awesome. Awesome. Good deal. Remember, Monday, 6 p.m., June 29th, 6 p.m. Central, Corinne's going to have Elizabeth Benton herself right here on Zoom. Okay? All right. You guys have a great rest of your Thursday night. thanks for coming to the call. I loved it. I had a great time. I love the book. You guys were awesome. Thanks for playing. See you later. Bye.